This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 2, Book 72, entitled Clifford Delves into His Past. The Barber Clan, now back in the full swing of fall activities, are here, there, and everywhere, scattered all over San Francisco, from grade school to high school, from law office to airfield. Yes, and a lot of barbers are even to be found in their various homes. Three blocks down and two blocks over from the family home is the residence of Hazel and Daniel Murray and their three offspring. And that's where the story begins.
Hazel, what are you doing up on that chair?
Oh, good, Dan. You're home just in time to help me. I'll get down and let you get up here.
Now don't tell me you're going to clean out this hall closet. That's an all-day job.
No, but I do want those books down from that top shelf. You want to get up on the chair and hand them down to me?
Okay. What's the idea?
Oh, Jack phoned a little while ago and asked if we had any children's books.
What's some new material, huh?
Yes. He said he'd read all the stories they had until he was sick of them. I don't know what's up there except a lot of Hank and Pinky and Margaret's old books. They've outgrown.
There, we'll see what we can find. You want them all? There's an awful mess of books in here.
Might as well clean them out. Those that Jack doesn't want, we'll have to give to an orphanage. Somebody might as well get some good out of them. Dan, what are you doing? I'm waiting for you to hand me some books. I hope you're not going to stop to read them all first.
No, I was just looking at this one. Frank the Bootblack by Horatio Alger.
Dan, I haven't got all day, and Jack will be here before long.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think anything like this would be good for Jack's little girls, do you?
Not Horatio Alger, no. There's a whole raft of Alger stuff here.
Well, give them to me. I'll stack them up here on the floor.
Can you handle this, me?
Of course. There. I've got them. Let go.
Well, what do you know? This takes me back 30 years.
You're not reading again, are you?
Look, Oliver Optic. Remember Oliver Optic?
Is that the name of the book?
Oh, that's the author. Haven't you ever heard of him?
Is it good for little girls? That's all I'm interested in at the moment. Where'd we get all these, anyway?
Look inside the cover one there. That'll tell you.
Paul Barber. Why, they're Paul's old books.
Hi. Can I come in or should I ring?
Come on in, Jack.
How's the champion daddy today?
Oh, the champ is running his legs off as usual. Get home from the office just to have time to take off my hat, and Betty says, Jack, will you run over to so-and-so's and get this and that? Jack, we're all out of such and such. Will you run over and get some?
You're so put upon, aren't you?
She never says when you have time. It's always run.
Now, Jack, she doesn't mean for you to run.
Brother, it seems like I've been running all my life. Well, looks like you found some books, all right.
Hey, we got books to burn.
That's about what we ought to do with most of them, too, if these are any sample.
Say, here's some old Rover Boy books. Did I get a kick out of these when I was in grammar school? Rover Boy's afloat, ashore.
Jack, I just got Dan to stop looking at every book. Now, don't you start or we'll never get through these.
Okay, stand aside, Hazel. Hand me a big stack, Dan.
Coming up.
I got them.
Just pile them on the floor, Jack. We'll sort them out later.
Yeah, now we can really go into production with a man on the receiving end. Hup,
there. Anchors away.
Are there many more, Dan? No,
this is the last time, Lord. Got them, partner?
You betcha. There.
A little dusty up there.
Oh, I'm glad to have these out of there. I needed that shelf space. Now then, let's see what we can find for you, Jack.
What kind of thing are you looking for? Anything in particular?
I can tell you what I'm not looking for. If you want me to start screaming, just show me a copy of Peter Rabbit or Goldilocks.
But they're wonderful stories, Jack.
Listen, Hazel, if you had to read Peter Rabbit as many times as I have, you'd want to strangle that animal. I told Betty she'd better burn the thing or I might start being cruel to animals.
You ought to know it by heart.
I do, and so do the kids. That's what kills me. They can recite the darn thing word for word, but that won't do. Oh, no, Daddy has to read it. And no skipping, either. If I leave out one and or but, they're right in there checking. Then I have to go back. Brother.
Yeah, Margaret used to be that way, too.
Honestly, I'm getting so I hope that rabbit will drown when he gets in Mr. McGregor's watering can.
Oh, no, no. He'll always manage to get up.
Yep. Always alive and kicking at the end, ready for the next night's run-through. And back into the watering can again. How dumb can a rabbit be?
Now, that's enough. I won't have you making fun of those wonderful stories. Just think of all the happiness they've brought to children all these years.
Okay, okay.
Oh, Jack, here's something.
What?
Look, a couple of Oz books. See? The Wizard of Oz. They'll love these. Put them aside to take.
Gosh, I don't know, Hazel.
What's the matter? Don't you think they'd like them? You're familiar with them, aren't you?
Oh, sure. It's just that these books are so darn thick. Haven't you got any thin ones with short stories?
What he wants is a short story.
Oh, you said it. Gosh, if I start one of those fat babies, I never will get the kids to bed.
Well, you take them along. Pretty soon they'll be able to read them themselves.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah, I'll put aside everything you want to take. 2 hours books.
Sign me more there, Dan. Put them with those.
All right.
On here, Jack. These just-so stories by Kipling.
Are they short?
The children will love these.
You haven't answered my question.
Well, they look pretty thin to me, Jack.
Oh, do you remember this one? How the rhinoceros got his skin. That's the one with the Parsee whose hat reflected the rays of the sun in more than oriental splendor. Oh, I love the sound of that. Here, Dan, put this one with the ones to take.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how the leopard got his spots and the butterfly that stamped.
Butterfly that what?
Stamped.
Probably won't be long before I'll turn against butterflies, too.
Shame on you. Well, that seems to be about all. The rest of these seem to be for boys and they're too grown up.
Hey, look, Dan, there's some Hitty books, too.
Yeah, Paul had quite a library.
I remember now when he sent these over for Hank and Pinky. They didn't seem to care for them much, as I recall.
No, I'm afraid they belong to Paul's and my generation. Pretty dated. Might save a few of them out, though. Might be fun to read a couple of them and see if I can recapture my youth.
Hey, listen, if you got any extra time for reading, I got a swell job for you.
No thanks, old boy. I want to keep my faith in Peter Rabbit.
There's been unusual activity in the rooms occupied by Cliff Barber and his son, Skippy called Andy, in the Barber family home at Seacliff. After Andy left for school this morning, Cliff got busy on the telephone. And by mid-afternoon, mysterious boxes and parcels began to arrive. Cliff, whose accident cost him all his memory of the last 11 years of his life, has gathered, from chance remarks by the family throughout the summer, that he was not an ideal father during those lost years. Now he is determined to make up for past neglect. It is late afternoon now, and Paul, climbing the wide stairs to the second floor, hears an odd and interesting sound coming from the closed door of Andy's room. He hesitates and knocks.
Andy? Skippy? Hey, Cliff.
Oh, hiya, Paul. Come on in. I've been arranging some surprises for Andy.
Hey, Cliff, what have you done to this room?
Where did I turn off this motor? I had to anchor it in a vise to hold it. Come over here to the bench and take a look at this. Andy felt so bad about leaving the motor scooter at the Sky Ranch, I got him some stuff to play with here at home. Little model airplane motors are just like jewelry, Paul. Look at the precision work on this one.
Workbench, scroll saw. Cliff, you go broke.
I'm busted fighting a pancake anyway. Might as well start from scratch. What do you think of it, Paul? Boy, he'll be pretty happy here, shouldn't he?
You went kind of hog wild, didn't you?
Well, as long as I was going to fix up this room and porch for him, I thought I might as well do it all at once.
Well.
Don't you think it was a good idea?
Well, it seems to be complete.
Too much all at once, maybe? You see, I have a feeling that I've got to make up for lost time, Paul.
I know, but...
Besides, today I remembered something.
Remembered something? From when?
I don't know just when. Maybe a couple of years ago, maybe not. Anyway, I woke up with it in my mind. It was just as clear as...
Oh, let's sit down. Tell me about it, Cliff.
Yeah. Well, I think it might have been 2 or 3 years ago because Andy seemed to be about the same size he is now in my memory, you know, in the little flash I got.
3 years ago, Cliff, everybody called him Skippy.
I know. It was the only name he had.
Yeah. Well, did you think of him as Andy in your memory?
Sure.
I see. You haven't told the doctor about
it. No, it just happened this morning, Paul. I woke up with it.
Mm-hmm. At the hospital, they weren't too sure you'd ever remember anything about these 11 years, you know. Medically, there were all sorts of reasons, pretty technical, but I think the doctors would be interested to hear you've remembered an incident from 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, it came pretty clear, Paul. It was almost like something that just happened yesterday.
Well, what was it?
Well, we were all sitting on the porch at the Sky Ranch. You and Hazel and...
And how?
Now, that's funny. Seemed like Bill Herbert.
Bill's been dead 11 years, Cliff.
Yeah. Maybe it was Dan, then.
I see. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, everybody was there except, I don't think Jack was. Well, Andy came out with a book. He said I'd promised to read to him. It was Treasure Island.
Huh?
And I was sharp with him. As a matter of fact, I was downright tough with him.
You say I was there?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll remember it in a minute.
I said, go peddle your papers or something like that. And I said, get out of here. You're in my hair. You know, hard boiled. Do you recall it now?
Oh, Cliff, I don't.
Well, then you see, I've got a better memory than you have.
Was that all that happened?
Oh, no, there's a lot more to it. Then the Ferris wheel thing came up.
What?
Ferris wheel.
What about a Ferris wheel?
There was a Ferris wheel down the road about a mile and a half, an outdoor carnival. Well, you recall that, surely.
Cliff, at the Sky Ranch?
Why, sure, Paul. Right down the road about a mile and a half. Lights and tents, sideshows, games of chance, all that stuff.
Near the Sky Ranch? I don't know where they'd put it.
Well, it was there, Paul. Sure, the grown-ups took the kids down there, and you took Andy.
I did?
You and Nicky and this other guy, Dan, I guess it was, and Claudia and Hazel, you all went.
Cliff, are you sure now? I don't remember a thing about this. That's against the state law to put anything like that up on the Skyline Boulevard.
But, Paul, it did happen. It'll come back to you. I remember it, I guess, because I feel so guilty about it.
Guilty about what?
The way I treated Andy. I promised to take him to the Ferris wheel for a ride on it. He said it was a promise. He stood right there and told me so. But I said, no, no, I was too busy.
What were you too busy doing?
Well, that part I haven't remembered yet. But I let Andy down. That part's coming back all right. I let him down, but good, because I got sore at him.
You got me this time. A Ferris wheel.
Well, I see how you could forget it. Even a guy who hasn't had a knock on the head can't remember everything. Well, go on, now you think about it for a minute. At night, we could see the lights on the Ferris wheel and the merry-go-round from the porch and from the upstairs windows.
Maybe I better go get my head examined. Cliff, are you sure about that?
Look, when all this came back to me this morning, it rolled out before my mind's eye just like so much film. I can still see it. Poor little guy waiting around for me to keep my promise. And well, anyway, I couldn't wait to get these rooms fixed up for him.
It's odd.
Yeah, isn't it? But isn't this a transformation around here?
Oh, miraculous job. Has Andy seen it yet?
No, I had Hazel invite him over there for dinner. I wanted to be sure it was all done when he got home.
Ferris wheel.
Maybe I'm giving too much to him, but don't you see how it is, Paul? I want to wipe those years out for him, whatever they are. Maybe if I pour it on a little, he'll know I'm sorry for the past.
Cliff, you were never cruel to the boy. Indifferent, maybe, and preoccupied.
That time I was tough.
Cliff, I don't remember anything like that.
Oh, and look, somebody in the family won a ham at the carnival. A ham and one of those Cupid dolls?
Well, I don't know.
Sure, it seems to me now it was Claudia. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Claudia. Remember, Paul? She won one of those roulette wheels, those roulette things, you know. Cost her a nickel.
Well, I must have been away somewhere, Cliff. I don't remember any of this at all.
No, you were there. I'm positive of it. You had a tweed coat on.
Well, see here, I got to get changed. I've got a date right after dinner. You go down and ask Dad about this Ferris wheel, a mile and a half down the road in the Sky Ranch, and a ham and a Cupid doll. Ask him.
Right, I will. He'll remember it. He doesn't forget stuff like that.
Let me know what he said.
It's a deal. Where's he now, you know?
Well, he and Jack were having a chin fest downstairs in the library when I came up.
So I told Betty, it's a long time till spring, but the kid's in love again. When a boy walks right past his own uncle, talking to himself, it's love. There's no other explanation.
Where was this, Jack?
Over on California Street, when I was coming home from Hazel's.
Well, you can expect that, you know, a new school year. All those pretty little girls have grown up during the summer, and the boys, too, of course. Pinky's well into 16 now. He'll have a serious love affair before too much longer. He'll have one he'll remember all his life.
When I called to him, he stopped in his tracks.
Huh?
Yeah, he looked straight ahead of him and then turned slowly and gazed at me, practically without recognition. So I said, hi, Pink. He batted his eyes and came to enough to say, oh, hi, Uncle Jack. And then without another word, he did a right about face and walked on.
Yes, when they're 16, 17, momentous events can take place overnight. Oh, Clifford, come in.
Are you two in private confab, or is this just big talk?
Oh, hi, Cliff. I just dropped in on my way home.
Have you seen the Pinky lately, Clifford?
Saw him yesterday.
Notice anything special in his manner?
I don't know why.
Jack thinks love has smitten.
Oh, is that so? I hadn't noticed. Look, could I change the subject for a minute?
Yeah? What's on your mind?
Well, I remembered something this morning, Dad, and I'm trying to check on it.
Something between 1938 and your accident?
Hey, that's great. What was it?
I don't think you were there, Jack.
What the heck was that? If your memory's coming back...
What is it, boy?
Well, maybe it happened earlier than I thought at first. You were away at war, Jack. What years?
I sure was, my pal. From 1941 to 45. Good old Fort Sill and then Korea.
Mm. Well, anyway, I was lying in bed this morning and suddenly my mind opened up and there it was.
There what was?
Why, the Sky Ranch, everything. The first flash I got was at evening time. A beautiful blue summer evening with the valley and the lights and a far-off brilliant Ferris wheel.
I beg your pardon?
A Ferris wheel. Dad... Don't you remember the time there was a carnival about a mile and a half down the road from the Sky Ranch?
Hey, Claire.
Huh?
You weren't there, Jack. Dad, now think. We could see the lights in the evening. And Andy wanted to go on the Ferris wheel, and I'd promise, but I changed my mind, wouldn't take him. Oh, you remember it, Dad. Everybody else went, and Claudia won a 10-pound ham and a Cupid doll.
I went to a carnival?
Yes, Dad. Everybody went but me. Mickey and Dan and Hazel.
I've been to just one carnival in a lifetime, Clifford. I took Margaret once and she got sick. She ate too many peanuts, but that was in the daylight and it was in San Francisco. It was in 1943.
How could I be the only one who remembers this?
I don't know, my boy, but I doubt very much if I'd forget there had been a Ferris wheel a mile and a half down the road from the Sky Ranch. Why, I would have been appalled.
Who else was there, Cliff?
Jack, it seems to me everybody, the whole family, all but you.
Now, things like that don't slip my mind, Clifford. Practically nothing slips my mind. Call your mother over at Jack and Betty's. Call Claudia.
Yeah, but, Dad...
Go ahead. Call Claudia and ask her if she ever won a ham at a carnival a mile and a half from the Sky Ranch.
Okay, and it wasn't one of those double Ferris wheels or anything like that. It was just a regular old-fashioned wooden Ferris wheel.
I'll get it, Claudia.
It was for me, Nicky. I'm coming right down.
Nicholas Lacey speaking. Yes, Clifford. Yeah, Claudia's right here. Right on. Oh, Claudia. Oh, there you are. It's Clifford.
Oh, what does he want?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, suppose you find out.
Oh, stuff him. Yes, Cliff. Oh, really? A what? Where? Cliff's remembered something.
Really? Wonderful.
Cliff, let me get this again now. It was where? No. No, Cliff, I don't see how I could forget. What? Oh, wait, just a minute. Nicky.
Yes?
Do you remember anything about all of us going to a carnival and somebody won a funny suit and you wore it?
What's this?
And I won a 10-pound ham and a Cupid doll? The carnival was near the Sky Ranch somewhere.
Well, look here, the skyline's protected by state law.
Cliff? Nicky doesn't seem to remember either. We're trying to, Cliff. Nicky, did we ever sit on the porch at the Sky Ranch and... What, Cliff? Oh, wait, we're trying to recall it. The lights could be seen from the front porch, Nicky. One or two evenings, we could even hear the music.
What music?
Cliff says from the merry-go-round.
What in all get-out is that man talking about?
Cliff, have you talked to Hazel? Well, Hazel remembers all sorts of odd things. All right, you do that. What if she does, for goodness sakes, let us know. All right, Cliff. I'm sorry. Bye. Nicky, isn't this odd?
Now, hold on. Merry-go-round, a Ferris wheel. It does seem to me...
Yes, Nicky?
Music. Ferris wheel. I seem to recall...
Didn't Penny go on a Ferris wheel one time at a carnival?
Yes, I took it myself, Claudia. Didn't enjoy a moment of it. Joan was there, and Skippy.
Yes, now, hold on.
A Cupid doll and a ham. Now, wait a minute. I do remember something about a Cupid doll. It had a dress with spangles... And one of those roulette things, I put down a nickel. Oh, my goodness, I think I did.
By Jove, this is remarkable, isn't it? Oh, but Clifford's wrong about the Sky Ranch. Could never have happened up there.
I'm going to call Hazel.
I say, we did take Andy with us. One time, years ago, we took all the children to the concessions on the beach. That was here in San Francisco. Oh, look, my love, I mentioned that incident to Cliff this summer.
You did? Nicky, do you suppose his memory's playing him tricks?
You mean he remembers the story, but... Forgot I told it to him?
Mm-hmm. Hazel's line's busy. Yes, we've all heard things that have impressed us so much that after a time we feel they were part of our own experiences.
It's remarkable how your mind plays tricks on you. Jove, I hope this won't upset Clifford. I mean, if it turned out to be a mirage, Yeah, I say, try Hazel again.
Oh, think of the wonderful, wonderful things that slip away out of our minds. It'd be horrible to have 11 whole years gone.
Correct.
No wonder Cliff was excited about this and what... Oh, hello, Hazel. Claudia. Did Cliff call you? He did? Well, do you remember what he was talking about? You even remember me winning something on one of those roulette wheels?
Oh, yes, Claudia, but you were only 10 years old, and it was at the beach. Yes, in about 1926 or 7. Well, I'll tell you why I can remember. I had to take you and Clifford. Yes. Well, because Mother and Father made me. I was the babysitter, but we didn't call him that then. Yes, Claudia, Clifford's just recalling an incident out of his youth, long before the last 11 years. Well, I can tell you what I think happened to him this morning. He had one of those perfectly normal, vivid dreams we all have sometimes, in which the present and the dim past get all mixed up together. Uh-huh. Yes, I think I finally convinced him. I told him to talk it over with Father and Paul and see if they didn't agree it was a reasonable explanation.
Well, I knew if there'd been a Ferris wheel, you could trust Hazel's memory. She's always hated them.
Yes, mixture of dream and reality.
And so the hope that I was beginning to remember has gone kerflop. Oh, hi, Paul.
Well, look at our big brother all dressed for the gill.
Ah, yes. Greetings, one, and greetings all. Well, what about it, Cliff? You talked to Dad?
Yes, talk to everybody, Paul. Claudia and Hazel.
Yeah, I'll tell you how good my memory is, Paul. I've had a vivid recollection of something that never happened at all.
Oh, is that so?
It was nothing but a dream, Paul.
Can you beat that? At 5 o'clock this morning, I was lying there wide awake, remembering all this stuff, only I just thought I was wide awake. I was sound asleep, I guess, and dreaming.
Well, now, don't look so worried, Cliff. We all do it. Blend yesterday and today in our unconscious. It can happen to anybody.
Well... Andy got a doggone nice room out of it anyway.
What is it, Clifford?
Well, Dad, it's all for the best, I guess. I practically emptied the coffers this morning fixing up Andy's room.
Did you indeed?
So little Cliff now has to settle down, replenish the empty sock, and prepare to take care of my son in the manner in which he's accustomed.
Well, Clifford, I think I still have some influence.
Oh, thanks, Dad, thanks. No, I wouldn't think of it.
If you're interested in anything at the airport...
Yeah, and Judge Hunter's got some clients who...
No, thank you. Not from anybody this time. I'll do it myself. I may not remember anything that happened during those last 11 years, but I can look at my hands and see I didn't overwork my blisters and calluses. Well, brother, you watch. Watch the blister and calluses burst into full bloom from now on.
And with that picturesque declaration, Clifford put on his hat and went out into the afternoon, just as Joan turned in at the family home with a jaunty swish of skirts and came up the walk.
Hey, look out the window. Here comes Joan.
Joan?
Well, I haven't seen Joan since she moved back home.
Bet you miss her, don't you?
Say, I do. She's been pretty busy with school, I guess. I'll go let her in. Come on in, Joan. I was just coming to open the door, but you beat me to it.
Hello, Uncle Paul. Are you glad to see me?
I should say I am glad to see you. Are you neglecting me?
Does this look like it?
Hi there, John.
Hello, Jack. Oh, hello, Grandfather. How are you?
Glad to see you, my dear.
Sit down. I was just saying to Dad and Jack that I haven't seen you since you left your summer home here.
I know. I've been wanting to get over to see you, but school and everything, you know.
No apologies necessary, but I'm glad you found a minute today.
Well, I was supposed to go right home from Hazel's. I better be getting on across the hedge, or Betty will be sending a posse after me.
You might tell your mother that I'd be very pleased to have her come home also. I presume she's over at your house?
Oh, sure. Was when I left there, anyway.
Leaves in the morning, and I don't see her again until nightfall, it seems to me.
But you have Mrs. Kettleman, Dad. Doesn't she fill your life?
Mrs. Kettleman? All she knows how to do is clean. If she'd devote some of her energy to cooking instead of being so fastidious, we'd all get along better. I get a nervous stomach every time the woman comes near me.
Well, I'll tell Mom to come home and soothe your nervous stomach. So long.
Jack.
Yes, Dad?
Don't you dare mention nervous stomach.
Better bring her home a running.
Yes, yes, with a tablespoon and a medicine bottle in her hand. No, Jack, let her come home when she's ready.
Okay, Dad, I get it. Bye.
Off to the baby farm. They could probably use a couple more women besides Mom over there.
Yes, Your mother's had her share of baby tending, it seems to me.
She must like it, though, Grandfather. She wouldn't go over there all the time.
Your grandmother is not one to shirk her duty if she sees there's something to be done, young lady.
Oh, excuse me just a second. Don't go away, Joan. I want to talk to you. I'll be back just a minute.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Joan, you seen anything of that young man lately? What's his name?
Oh, you mean Ken Arthur?
Yeah, Arthur, yes.
Oh, I've only seen him once since I started back to school. Why?
Nothing. Just wondered.
He said he liked you, Grandfather, after he met you up at the Sky Ranch.
Oh, did he, indeed?
Mm-hmm. He said he was a little scared of you at first, and then he got to like you.
Seemed like a very sensible boy. Very sensible, indeed. Learning to fly, I believe Paul said.
He's going to get his license before very long.
I see. Well, you usually find that if you...
Sorry, I had to run off. Oh, excuse me, Dad. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying? Will I get it?
I can reach it, Paul. Huh? Oh, Fanny? Huh? Oh, you want me to come across the hedge? Well, I'm very comfortable for... Huh? Yes, Fanny. Very well, my dear. Well, I said I'd come, Fanny. Yes, yes, I will, Fanny, I will. Right this minute.
Oh, what?
Huh?
You leaving us?
There's your mother, Paul. I must come next door and see the triplets. I've seen them 3 times today, but is that sufficient? It is not. Now I've got to go over and see them eat their spinach. I think your mother's gone triplet daffy. I do for a fact.
Don't forget your hat, Dad.
Oh, too late.
Well, that worked.
What?
Well, I knew there was something you wanted to tell me. I knew your grandfather would resent it if we walked out on him, so I had your grandmother call him over to Jack.
Oh, shame on you. If he ever finds
he won't,
out.
No. Now then, what's on your mind?
I guess I do kind of need a little help.
Mm-hmm. Everything all right at home?
Yes, Nicky and Claudia are wonderful to me, only...
Now we have it. Only what?
Well, I've really tried to make our relationship as good as I possibly can, Paul. And it is good, too, really, only... I don't know. I have a feeling that it isn't quite the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know I shouldn't feel that way, but I do.
That'd be a perfectly natural reaction. Let's see. Go on with the rest.
Well, I kind of sense that Claudia and Nicky are on edge with me a little. Oh, not mean or unkind. It's a feeling more than anything else.
You mean that you sense that this Joan they have now is a bit strange to them and they don't quite know how to act around you? And the relationship is forced, perhaps?
Yes, that's the idea. Kind of like they think it won't last and they're being careful not to upset me or something and have it all go smash.
Sure. I see what you mean.
Well, they're almost too nice to me. Is this all my imagination?
Well, it's good to talk about it, whatever it is.
You can see how I'd have an uncertain feeling toward them if they think they're so afraid to say anything to me because I might just go back to my old way.
Huh?
If they think that, they can't have much confidence in me. For all I know, maybe they just think I'm putting on an act. You see, Uncle Paul?
John, it's a perfectly natural process you're going through with your parents. Of course they're a bit uneasy. They've got hold of a wonderful new Joan and they're fearful of losing you. They go overboard to cling to you because they're so desperate to have the new relationship last.
Really, Paul?
Yeah. That'll all pass with time. Gradually, they'll come to know that you're not putting on an act, that you really feel the love you're showing, and it'll all settle down into a perfectly normal relationship.
No, I hope so.
Well, of course. Main thing is that you can talk about it. This little chat alone will help to remove a lot of your doubt.
No, it has already. I was afraid I was slipping.
Oh, no. You're not slipping. Quite the opposite, Joan. You're growing in grace.
I, Joan Roberts Lacey, am growing in grace?
Is that so astonishing? Where do you suppose beautiful women develop from?
I'd never thought of that.
Well, think about it. And get set, because you're going to be one of them.
Just heard Chapter 2, Book 72 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 3, entitled Father Barber Gets Left Behind, will come to you next week at this same hour. Well, today is Sunday. And Sunday evening on NBC means time for both the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show and the Adventures of Sam Spade. For top comedy entertainment, listen to Phil Harris and Alice Faye, and then stay tuned to NBC for Sam Spade. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.